views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture and thought leadership helping us understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, I am really excited to have Mary Shores with us. Mary has a new brand new book out called Conscious Communications, and I feel so lucky we're going to get to talk about that today. Let me introduce Mary first. So Mary is an award-winning author, as I mentioned, of the book Conscious Communications, and this is a groundbreaking personal development book. It was just published by Hay House in August 2017, so it's hot off the press. And Conscious Communications draws on Mary's over 10 years experience of personal development work and knowledge. And what she's done is created an easy-to-follow, step-by-step practice to transform each area of your life, and I think each area of your business as well. And here's why. Mary is also an inventive entrepreneur, and she's broken records by starting a unique business back when she was 24. And since then, her business has grown to over 25 employees and has garnered over $40 million in the many years she's been in business. So Mary is really an expert on teamwork and empowerment and using teamwork and empowerment to lead a really successful business and successful brand. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I've been really looking forward to this conversation. I love your book and a lot of the concepts you talk about in there. So, yeah. So one of the things I, when people write books, which I'm always inspired by, I always like to just start out by asking, what inspired you to write this book?
Oh, wow. So, you know, I was just talking about this yesterday because I actually had to film a video about it and I had to do it over and over and over again because as soon as there's a camera in my face, I don't know, it's like all the information drains out of my brain. I'm not actually sure where it goes, but when I'm talking to you, like on a show, it comes right back. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, that book was something that was just inside of me. And for about 10 years, I just really, really wanted to write a book. It was actually such a strong thing inside of me that I couldn't not do it, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And, you know, I had a slight problem because I kept saying, I want to write a book, but I'm not a writer. And everything we say, everything we do, and every action we take is actually like it's like a mirror to our subconscious programming. And so what's really interesting about your question and our topic today is how perfectly it fits in that both of those sentences, I want to write a book. It's mm-hmm. like it's in my subconscious mind, almost to the point like it's written on my soul because it's that much of a need. But the words, I'm not a writer, are also a mirror to some sort of subconscious belief that is in my mind. You know, maybe it's that I think you have to, maybe I have a belief that you have to have a PhD in English to write a book, or you have to be well connected in the publishing industry, or, you know, you have to be like Hemingway and bang out hours a day at a typewriter. I mean, whatever it is, as long as I had that belief, I was never going to write a book. So my first step was truly I had some work to do and in order to get past that barrier belief and then write a book.
Wow. That was such a powerful example about how often that happens to us, doesn't it? We feel the strong desire. We know we should be doing something. It's really important to us. And then this other voice comes in or this other belief, right? And just stops it.
It's a perfect example of how we are not in alignment. And I got really fascinated with that term alignment, because I always hear all these like leadership teachers and spiritual teachers talking about alignment. And I'm like, I don't get it. Why did that sound so complicated to me? But that is so true. Like, my words were not in alignment with my goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we say alignment, how do you define that?
I define it by getting your thoughts, words, actions all in the same direction as what your dreams and desires are. And what I really mean by that is everything you say, everything you do, every word you speak, every action you take is in the same direction of what you want. And what we often do is say, like, for example, we want to start a business, but our words are not in alignment because we say, but I can't, or I don't have the money, or, you know, it's like the excuses come out. Or maybe we say we want to start a business, or we want to, you know, start a new project, but we never take action towards it. And so that would be an example of our choices not being in alignment, because we're not taking any steps in the direction of what we want.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have this concept I call the time money trap, when I'm working with leaders or organizational clients or even individuals, and I hear them say, oh, we can't afford that. Oh, we don't have time. Say, oh, let's stop, right? And let's dig down and find out what's actually going on, right? Because it's usually not about time or money, to your point. Something
else. That's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. So what, one of the things I was curious about sharing with our listeners is you have a really successful business, and it sounded like one of the keys to your success and your employee success has really been around a method of communication you developed. Could you share that with us?
I would love to. So first I want to say that I'm in a very unique business that you don't necessarily put with good communication skills. So I actually own and operate a collection agency. So for 20 years, I have been a debt collector. I started when I was 24 years old after my parents had also owned a collection agency. So I'm what they call a second generation debt collector. But right away in the industry, I didn't like the concept of using shame, threats, and intimidation to get people to pay their debt. And so I had to create another way. And my mission really began to be that I wanted people to feel good about paying their debt, because having a debt is a psychological burden. Mm-hmm. And just like those words, I'm not a writer. The psychological burden of debt will get in between the person and living the life of their dreams. And what I really mean by that is they're not going to apply for the mortgage. They're not going to start the business. They're not even going to date the same people, because deep down inside, somewhere deep down in their psyche, they will view themselves as unworthy. And so,
wow.
In order to solve that, I created a system that I call Words That Work. It eventually became the book Conscious Communications. And the Words That Work system it's a customer service system that I developed that's based on neurology, which is the idea is that you want to eliminate any words that are going to trigger the nervous system from its fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. And you want to replace that with words that are going to trigger the parasympathetic response.
Got it. Well, how fascinating is that? I mean, and what I just am struck by the level of compassion, you know, that seems to thread through this work that you've done, and this, you know, how you've created your business around, like, using words that eliminate, you know, that keep us calm, right? Not in fight or flight. Are there certain words, examples of certain words you did eliminate and certain words you brought in?
Yes. I'll share with you the biggest secret to success at, you know, behind collecting this $40 million is that we have a do not say list. And that is a list of words we never say. And they are, you're going to fall over here, no, uh-huh, not, can't, won't, however, and unfortunately. And the thing is that many people don't believe me that however and unfortunately are negative words, because we've got some cultural programming that suggests that those words are sympathetic and empathetic. Mm-hmm. And in certain personal situations, they may be. But in a business situation, your clients, customers, patients, colleagues know that no good news is coming after those words, however, and unfortunately. And as soon as they hear those words, what's happening inside of their body is they're going to forget everything that you just said before that. So you could tell somebody, hey, you're getting a promotion. Unfortunately, blah, 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 blah. Mm. No one heard what you said.
Right. Right. No, it's an excellent point. I love that. No, we do not. We rarely, if ever, hear anything we want to hear after, however, or unfortunately. That's true. That's really true. So how has it transformed? How has it transformed your work?
In so many ways. I mean, first of all, it's delivered to me my dream of becoming a writer. Mm-hmm. It has changed my employee satisfaction and employee retention rate, because traditionally in the collections industry, there's high turnover. And as far as attracting talent, I mean, I don't know, did any of your college buddies say, I can't wait to graduate so I can get a job as a debt collector? Probably not.
Right.
It's allowed me to bring in top talent. Mm-hmm. It increased our revenue the first year alone by 33%. Mm-hmm. And now it's beginning to even transform my industry, because as I've been training on it for over 10 years in healthcare, in IT, in education, it's finally starting to have its effect in the collection industry, so that now I can change that collective of how debt collectors are communicating, not just at my company, but industry-wide.
Wow, congratulations. What an impact you're having.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's really, and again, like I said, just the level of compassion, and really, like you said, how debt gets in the way of people's dreams because it changes how they think about themselves, right? It creates a lack of self-worth in some cases.
It's so true.
Yeah. It's really, really, really fascinating. And so in terms of your, I was just curious when, you know, and some of the customers that you help, you know, through this process, have you been able to, have they come back and said, wow, because of how I interacted with your company, I was able to do dot, dot, dot. Has it helped them transform things?
Oh, all the time. I mean, First of all, my clients, so it's weird. It's not weird, but it's an interesting paradigm where I'm in a unique position that I can help all the consumers that owe us money. Mm-hmm. And I can help my clients do business better. So for example, I work with a lot of healthcare clients, and I go in and I train their patient accounts department, anyone who talks to a patient, either face to face or over the phone, if they go through a training with me, it is going to completely change the way that they communicate with their patients. Mm-hmm. And that in turn transforms through small pivots that entire organization.
Mm. Oh my gosh. Wow, this is a juicy topic. We need to take a quick break, but I'd like to return to this about how small pivots in communication can transform an organization. That's a big deal. So you're listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley, and we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about how small changes make a big difference. Stay tuned.
Searching. Are you searching? Looking for a sign? A message you need to hear? From the great unknown? From the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are? The universe put someone here to talk to, someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
Hey, did you know why they call the foundation? It's called the foundation because it completely eliminates your foundation for what you thought your reality was and creates a whole new space where you can have an entirely new reality that is foundationless. So from my point of view, they should call it the unfoundation or the foundationlessness. Either way, there's a big new global rewrite happening again because these guys cannot stop changing. There should be like a Change Anonymous that Gary and Dane go to. And it's happening April 28th to May 1st. You can find out about it at accessconsciousness.com/global foundation. It's happening in Paris. Go to Paris or do it online or find a pod near you. These are all the options you have. And what else is possible?
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, my guest today is Mary Shores, the award-winning author of the new book, Conscious Communications. And we have been having, Mary, a really interesting conversation about how small changes in language, right, can make a huge difference in organizations.
Yeah, I love that you picked up on that. And I'm so excited to talk about how this system would affect the nervous system and of the staff and the teams that use it.
Yeah. Can you tell us more about it? That would be great.
Sure. So, you know, before I was talking about how this system affects people in their nervous system and that we need to eliminate negative language because it triggers people and puts them in a defensive position because their fight or flight is triggered. But one thing that we don't realize is it's not just your clients, your patients, and your customers who are feeling triggered in these communication situations, but your staff as well. So anytime one of my staff members has to take, say, a supervisor call, and I don't know if you've ever worked in an organization where you had to take some kind of complaint call and you immediately just begin to tense up. Mm-hmm. Well, that tense feeling is fight or flight. And it's not good because what it's doing inside your body and your brain is it's creating all kinds of adrenaline and cortisol and testosterone and things that make you gear up for a fight. Mm-hmm. So using this system and learning this communication method actually benefits the workers because they are no longer needing to be in their fight or flight system because when they have the tools to empower themselves of how they're going to take conversations from conflict to resolution without being yelled at, screamed at, cussed at, I mean, it's transformative in their overall satisfaction rate and it causes them to become more loyal employees. I mean, to the point where my employees want to recruit their friends to come work here.
That's a testimonial, isn't it?
It's a little shocking to me sometimes. It's like, what, your friend wants to come work at the collection agency? Really?
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, sounds like you're transforming, you know, the system is transforming how we think about collection agencies, right? And then there's another way to do it. Another way to do that. Yeah.
I hope so. Well, ask me again in 2 years. We'll see.
We'll see. Right, exactly. But this is a really important point, I think, and I'm thinking about I'm not doing the radio show, right? I'm an organizational development consultant and cultural change consultant and coach. And one of the things that it's really striking me in what you're saying is how often we focus on the customer, right? They're getting triggered, something like that. And when we think about, you know, the client, like you were saying, in your case, the client or the staff, they're getting triggered, right? We tend to forget them. You know, in my business, it would be maybe the leader that's getting triggered, right? And we think that leaders shouldn't get triggered, or we think that they should always stay calm, even if their employees and direct reports are all triggered. And what it's like to take care of people, no matter what level they're at. It sounds like what you're getting at. Like, we can take care of everybody and teach them the system so they don't get so triggered.
Yeah, because it's such a feedback loop of when your team knows that they're not going to get yelled at, they're not going to have what I call these freak out moments, then they're not tensing up and spending 30, 40, 50, 60% of their day fearful or having anxiety because of that next phone call they're going to have to take or make. You know, it's really interesting, but, and I don't know if you've noticed this with what you do, but I am noticing the highest level of anxiety amongst the millennial generation.
Interesting. What have you noticed?
Well, I mean, I just noticed it affects them in such a deeper way. And, you know, maybe it affects my generation too. I guess I'm Gen Y or Gen X or something. I don't even know anymore.
Right.
But, you know, it's like your staff, they would call in sick more if they've got anxiety. And these tense situations that they have, you know, they build up anxieties over time and they lead to sickness. So when you can get a really great foundational communication system in place, number one, it empowers your employees. Number two, it creates amazing consistency throughout. And it just makes people feel good. I went and gave a talk at a medical organization last week, and I took my very young personal assistant with me. And she said, well, you know, I used words that work for the first time with this show host. She was telling me about an email interaction that had, and she goes, Mary, this changed my life. And that I'm told that so many times, once they have that light bulb moment go off in their mind and they see how to apply this and they see how it works and they understand the phrases, they'll literally say, this just changed my entire life.
Well, wow, right? I mean, I think wow is appropriate here to be able to create something that sounds, I mean, it's simple in concept, right? And it sounds like it's profound in application.
It's not complicated at all. It's easy to apply. It's easy to learn, and it's easy to make it a habit, because once you've created the habit, then you just start doing it unconsciously and you don't have to think about it anymore.
And is there, so for listeners who are getting really curious, like I am, right? Is there a workbook, a book, a website, a way they could learn more about the Words That Work system?
Well, the best thing to do is probably look at my website, maryshores.com. And I have, you know, my brand new book out is called Conscious Communications, How to Harness the Power of Your Words to Change Your Mind, Your Choices, and Your Life, which is going to not only talk about, you know, this communication system, but it's going to teach you how you're going to apply this to every area of your life.
Okay, got it. So the book gives us even more. All right. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I believe that we've given you, we also have a free workbook, a companion guide for the book that is a 36-page journal that has certain coaching exercises that are directly from the book to give you a place to just journal your way through it.
Oh, yes. We will definitely make that available to listeners. Absolutely. And thank you so much for that generous gift.
It's my pleasure.
Really benefit from it. Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things, I was really curious about, you know, and do you mind if we shift over more directly to your book?
I would love that.
Okay. Yeah. This has been great and so fascinating, but I also love your book. And one of the things that I read in the introduction and I highlighted, which you talk about the heart of the book, right? Or the heart of conscious communications, is the idea that you can create your own reality and that you could do so using words and thoughts. And you talked about the five types of expression: self-talk, spoken words, affirmations, goals, and gratitude. And so I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about how you came about, you know, deciding that it was these five. What's been your experience?
Well, how I came about it is that I'm just sort of someone that describes myself as, and you're going to have never heard these words put together before, but a gypsy scholar. So
ooh,
what
cool.
I mean by that is that I'm a total nerd. I mean, you know, like the most important man alive to me is Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, right.
And
yeah.
So yeah. I'm a total nerd. I'm a neuro nerd. I'm very, very into neuroscience. But I have this other side to me that's totally mystical, totally into spirituality, constantly going to yoga retreats and hanging out at retreat centers, meditation, all of that stuff. And so when you combine the neurology with what we know about spiritual practices going back thousands of years, you can really learn some fascinating stuff. And the words that we speak are actually a way of self-programming our own inner subconscious mind. And like gratitude, for example, you know, I think that many people here, you know, we know that almost any religion, any spiritual practice, the number one thing is going to be gratitude. Mm-hmm. But let's just say we're not into any of that. Then mm-hmm. truly, even from a neuroscientific perspective, we know that certain words are going to create certain chemicals in your body. But more importantly, if you picture like your subconscious mind being this neural network of pathways and synapses and everything that connects together, that becomes your personality, becomes the thoughts you think, becomes your behaviors and your patterns over time, then the words you use are actually what carve those out. So by choosing, by getting deliberate and conscious about, like, say, having a gratitude practice, then you are priming, number one, you're priming the muscle of your brain to perceive the world around you as being more positive. But number mm-hmm. two, you are creating brand new neural networks in your subconscious patterning.
When you say it like that, I'm like, we have so much power, don't we?
We are so powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the gypsy scholar.
<That's> you're the first talk show host I've ever told that to, but yeah, it's been kind of my nickname for multiple years.
Well, it's cool and it makes sense. So we have all this power to program our minds. We can create new neural networks, you know, and by, like you said, you know, our self-talk, our gratitude, et cetera. Right. So why don't we all just jump up and do this more often?
Well, I think I've got a little blurb in the book that says, if we knew better, we'd do better. Sure. And it's not something that we're taught, you know, mm-hmm. we're not taught this in elementary school. And people that strive for leadership and strive for personal development, you know, that's another reason why it's small pivots, because you can, you know, I used to be such a workshop junkie that I believed I could transform in a weekend, you know, rah, rah, Tony Robbins, date with destiny, jump off mm-hmm. a pole, rock through a fire, change your life. And what I learned is that it's not that way. You have to take You make small twists and turns and pivots that over time you can change into the person that you always want to strive to be.
Got it. Yeah, absolutely. So if we knew better, we'd do better. Exactly. We just sometimes don't know. So we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to apply some of this to leadership. We're going to make that connection. So I'm Claudette Rowley, and you're listening to Cultural Brilliance. My guest today is Mary Shores. Please stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah. Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
A word of caution. If you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to TransformationRadio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, my guest today is Mary Shores, an award-winning author with a new, brand new book called Conscious Communications. And Mary, we have been having such an interesting conversation, haven't we, about, just how we can program our own minds with our words.
Words transform.
Words transform, right. Absolutely. And so I, being the organizational culture leadership junkie I am, couldn't wait to ask you about, we've just talked about how we can create our own reality with words. What are you seeing with leaders, right? Leaders are creating reality all day long. And how are they doing with that from your experience?
Well, it's such a huge spectrum because, there are leaders that are just tyrants, but then there are leaders that, their staff just, or their team just absolutely are dedicated and almost like they worship the ground that they walk on. And then there's everything in between.
Right.
And, so what I can say is that because of a leader's influence is going to determine the output of their team, because that's how much influence they have. But they can influence either, through fear and intimidation, just like with those debt collection tactics, or they can influence by sharing the passion and their mission in order to find and attract the people who believe what they believe, mm-hmm. and want to join them and work towards that goal.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It runs the spectrum, and leaders have such a choice, and it's maybe a case of whether they know the choice they have.
There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure today in leadership, I think, to always be controlling your responses or be a certain way, fit a certain mold. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you that it's difficult sometimes to put yourself that way, because we're still humans. We're still triggered. We're still having, all of the responsibility sometimes falls on our shoulders, and that is overwhelmingly enormously stressful. And one of the things that I notice, especially in the entrepreneurial world, is we don't talk about, like, if you're a leader and especially entrepreneur, it's mm-hmm. like you're not, there's this unspoken rule that you're not allowed to talk about the tough times, because right. you have to have this image that everything is perfect and everything is profitable. And, you know, you don't have this outlet to sort of let out the steam. And what I want to say about that is, like, it's really important for you as a leader to get congruent with who you are. And what I mean by that is, how do you bring your natural gifts? And, you know, today we talk about purpose all the time. Mm-hmm. How do you apply your own personal purpose to the work you're doing? And for me, as a collector, debt collector, I kind of went through this existential crisis a few years back, because here I owned this debt collection agency for many years. And I also wanted to take this spiritual path and leadership path. And I was worried that I was going to have to give up my career, because I didn't understand how the two could cross. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, like, the tax collector is never the popular guy, right? So anyway, here's what happened. When you figure out what your gifts are, then you bring that to your leadership. You bring that to your job. You bring that to your career, and you will see the most amazing transformations. And I got a simple, easy tip of how to tell you how to do that. So personality tests are so easy to do. You could do one online in probably 10 or 15 minutes. You can take the Myers-Briggs, you can take the DISC. I've seen one, the How to Fascinate score. I mean, there's a whole selection of personality tests. And then what you do is you look at the characteristic traits and look at the ones that are positive. So mine were like teaching, speaking, writing. On the DISC, I was a super high D and a high I. Mm-hmm. Well, you just take that and you apply the things that you're good at, your natural gifts, mm-hmm. and you apply it to whatever it is your job is. And mm-hmm. then you're not trying to force yourself to be something that you're not. You just want to feed your natural talents.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. I mean, and that, this is so, I talked to so many, I completely agree with you. And I talked to so many people who say, oh, well, shouldn't I focus on getting better at the things that I'm not as good at? And after a while, the answer is no, like you're saying. You know, you might pick and choose one or two things you need to improve on for some reason, but what is it like when you align yourself with what you're great at, right?
Oh, that's how you change the world. Like right. what you just said, when you align yourself with what you're great at, that's where your biggest power lies. I have a chapter in the book. It's chapter 8. Mm-hmm. It's titled Becoming Who You Really Are. Mm-hmm. And I just have this little exercise in there about choosing like your alter ego through some hero archetype or like superhero mm-hmm. So I'll ask you yours. So you think about this for a second and I'll tell you mine. So mine were a cross between Jessica Rabbit and Scarlett O'Hara. And I'll tell you why. So because I'm tall and I don't have red hair, but I'm tall and curvy and you know, I could fit that just if I put a sequence gown on, maybe I could mm-hmm. pull that off. Mm-hmm. But the thing about Jessica Rabbit that I admire is that she stood by her man, Roger Rabbit. And mm-hmm. Roger Rabbit was like a force for good. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jessica Rabbit, she could probably have any dude she wanted on the planet, but she wanted Roger. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. So then there was Scarlett. Now, what I love about Scarlett is she's business brilliant. Mm. She is a resourceful lady. And like, I just am drawn to Scarlett. Like I can't even explain, but I started to realize that Scarlett's life was a constant battle, a struggle, constant chaos, you know, something, she gets them going, but then something always like pulls her back down again. And so through that, I realized that this was the constant struggle I was creating in my life. And I decided that instead of being Scarlett, I wanted to be Dorothy, because Dorothy had the power all along.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's great.
I know. It's kind of a silly way to understand that you have this, like, well, I call it an alter ego in the book. You can call it anything you want. But truly, like, if you look at who are the archetypes that you admire and understand mm-hmm. that there's something inside of you that's a mirror to that. When I ask men this and mm-hmm. I say, you know, like, who would you be if you could be any superhero? Well, mm-hmm. there's a big difference between if they tell me Superman or they say Tony Stark.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is a great exercise.
But it is so easy to understand. So I have to ask you, who's yours?
Who are mine? Well, the people that came up, thank you for talking first. Give me a chance to think about this. I came up with I just did top of mind, whatever showed up. So I came up with Wonder Woman. And then the other person I came up with was, can't recall her name, but she's the Kate Blanchett character in The Lord of the Rings. She's one of the wise women. Yeah, one of the wise elves or something like that.
And Wonder Woman is also very wise. So, you know, and Wonder Woman is somebody that she's fighting for the underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Wonder Woman, she's strong, but yet she's compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way, and you're right, I can't remember the chick's name from the Lord of the Rings either, but she's mm-hmm. also, you know, she's got this force for good side of her. And there's got to be some qualities in those two characters that are in you as well. And I'll just allow you to explore that, you know, on your own time.
Oh, thank you. No, that's a great exercise. I will look for that in the book. And I think for readers just to know about it, right? That there are those kinds of ways, you know, going through the book to be able to, you know, do an exercise here or there, it sounds like, right? And really get some insight about yourself. And our chapter. Yeah.
As I was writing the book, I had several like personal development partners that I would talk to about stuff. These are people that I've just met over the years. And, you know, they really know me inside, outside, backwards and forwards. Well, one morning I get this phone call and it was right as I was writing this chapter. And my friend Rocky calls me and he said, Mary, he goes, I cannot wait to tell you about this. He's like, I just changed everything in my entire life. And the reason I was able to do it is because I put Braveheart in charge.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, oh my gosh, tell me more. So, you know, Braveheart in that famous scene where, what's his name? Mel Gibson. He's running up and down on the horse and he's getting he's getting the soldiers all riled up and they start chanting that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what my buddy was talking about, is that he decided to put Braveheart in charge and he stepped into his freedom. He walked away from a six-figure job and moved from Michigan to Florida to start doing what he loved, which was working in the personal development field, developing children. You know, he wanted to work in real estate. He completely changed his life when he put Braveheart in charge. And that's kind of the point of that chapter, is you can become so powerful when you just let some of that alter ego be in charge. What would happen, Claudette, if you put Wonder Woman in charge?
So many things I have to ponder. Yes. This is great. I love it. So we do need to take a quick break. So this is Cultural Brilliance Radio. You're on with Claudette Rowley and my guest, Mary Shores. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Welcome to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat Basile, the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am so thrilled that we've created this venue for all of you out there.
Dr. Pat Basile will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
What we have heard is that you want to ensure for us that we keep positive, holistic, uplifting, transformative talk radio on the air. We're excited to bring you the contemporary conversations about Lyme disease.
We promise not to let the light fade on Lyme.
So fasten your seatbelts. We've got lots more to share with you in the weeks to come.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio with Dr. Pat and help keep our mission strong on transformationtalkradio.com.
TheAngelLady.net.
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 TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790. 1-800-323-1790. Sue Storm. Sue Storm. TheAngelLady.net.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit spiritfireretreatcenter.com.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, here with my guest today, Mary Shores, the author of Conscious Communications and an award-winning entrepreneur in her own right. So Mary, we have just been having fun, haven't we?
I know I have.
Yeah, in this last segment talking about, you know, coming from our alter egos in terms of being who we are as leaders. Well, I know we wanted to take a bit of a turn and talk about a really interesting concept that I was fascinated by in your Conscious Communications book called Cleanse or Clog. Cleanse or Clog. Can you tell us about that? What is Cleanse or Clog?
So Cleanse or Clog was the original concept that I built the entire book around, believe it or not, because I felt so strongly about this. And it's just a quick and easy technique that honestly, your listeners are going to understand it today and start to be able to apply it to their lives right away. And in order to get people to understand this, I'm going to explain it this way. We all understand sort of collectively that we all have these highest potentials or infinite possibilities available to us in life. But, you know, a lot of times when I say highest potential or infinite possibility, we think of that as being a good thing. But the truth is, if I have infinite possibilities available to me, then that means, you know, I have the possibility of becoming healthy, wealthy, best-selling author, but I also have the possibility of failing and, you know, never doing anything to pursue my dreams and becoming sick and ill and just, you know, lonely and die, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But how can you take a possibility and turn it into a probability? Because the difference between a possibility and a probability is the likelihood of it happening. Mm-hmm. And when you can pivot your life in a way, you can actually take these possibilities and turn them into probabilities, because we're always creating all the time. But the problem is we're creating so many things that we don't want. You know, by the actions in that chapter, I really encourage people to watch the movie A Bronx Tale, because I love Chaz Palminteri. And the quote that started it all was from the movie. And he says, "The saddest thing in life is wasted talent, and the choices you make will shape your life forever." Mm. And so I feel like we hear things like that all the time, but we don't necessarily know how. Like, life can be overwhelming. And how do you make a good choice that's going to mm-hmm. get you to where you want to go? So here's Cleanse or Clog. If I am trying to lose 20 pounds and I want to be on a diet, mm-hmm. I could learn all these complicated diet principles, keto, paleo, I mean, Weight Watcher points. I don't know, but I could spend a lot of energy trying to figure that out. Or I could just look at a piece of food and I could ask myself, if I put this food inside of my body, is it going to cleanse me? Or is it going to clog me? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is clog, then I have a choice to make. And as long as I can keep my choices, say 80% in that cleanse category and only 20% in the clog category, I'm probably going to be okay. So if I'm going to eat an apple and some nuts, then instinctively, we all know those two foods are cleansing foods. Mm-hmm. But if it's 3 o'clock or when I get off this show and I need like a pick me up and I choose to eat a Snickers bar, well, mm-hmm. same thing. We all know that's a clog. Mm-hmm. And so if I can make cleansing choices 80% of the time, I'm going to be okay. But here's the magic: that cleanser clog applies in every area of your life, because everything you say, everything you do, every action you take, every word you speak in your personal relationships are either cleansing those relationships or clogging those relationships. And because what I'm really saying is everything is either creating a deeper connection or mm-hmm. it's driving a disconnection. Everything is moving you closer to or further away from your dreams. And so this applies to your relationships. It applies to your career. It applies to your finances. I mean, think about if you made your financial choices through the lens of just cleanse or clog, how many different choices would you make? It applies to your spiritual development, your self-care routines. It literally applies to everything.
I love it. Yeah. And the words cleanse and clog are so visual as well. You know,
they are.
It's just so clear, you know, what this is all about. So, and it's, again, I'm coming back to leadership and thinking about, just because that's, you know, a huge area of interest for me, that like when leaders, you know, how often are leaders making cleansing decisions, right? How often are they making clogging decisions for their organizations?
And you know, we talked about that pressure to be perfect, but, you know, yeah. built into this cleanse or clog is the understanding that you want to live by this 80-20 rule. And right. if you're a leader and you can 80% of the time, if you can make cleansing, connecting choices, mm-hmm. then you're going to have a top-notch organization. But what if 60% of the time you're making clogging, disconnecting choices?
Right.
You're going to be completely out of whack.
You are. Yeah. And I love that it's 80-20. So it gives you some leeway, right? Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. I love Reese's peanut butter cups. So that's in my 20%.
And clog, you know what?
Right? Yeah.
That's right. So you can have that Reese's peanut butter cup. And I think that is so yeah. important to say that, because in the book, I say that perfectionism in itself is a clog.
Yeah, it is. It slows you down. Definitely.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy. And I know that because I'm a recovering perfectionist. And so in the book, there's lots of tables and charts that sort of help you figure out where you're at on the 80-20 scale with your choices.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, do you mind sharing an example maybe from your professional life of how you were, I'm sure you've applied this so many ways, but does an example kind of come to mind where it was like something, it was profound or it just made a big impact in something you were trying to do?
Well, I remember the moment where I came up with this concept is I was teaching a workshop and I was teaching it on words that work. And we were, you know, it was specific to the collections industry. And I just started saying, you know, everything you say to someone in a customer service situation or someone who owes money, everything you say is either cleansing that conversation or clogging it. And that was when I very first discovered it, but then I started applying it to everything. And so the way that it affects me personally is just, it's a great check-in. If mm-hmm. I am going to have a phone call or have a meeting or, you know, it helps me remember to be paying attention to the way I respond in situations, especially when I'm triggered, because maybe the best cleansing choice I can make is to not have this conversation right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, mm-hmm. you know, then you kind of go, well, but is it a clog to wait? And then you figure out, no, the best choice I can make is to have this conversation when I am in a great state of mind. And that'd be just one example.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's a great way to discern, right?
Yes.
What the best choice is for you, because you're also, you might be looking at timing, you might be looking at lots of other variables. So nothing's really black or white. So it just makes such a huge difference. Yeah.
Especially when we live in this world where we got to get this done right now.
Right. Yeah. And so I know where time has flown by on our show today. So, you know, if out of everything we've talked about, or even maybe something we didn't talk about, but something from the book, if there's something you would really love to leave listeners with, what would it be? What would be a message or just a concept you'd love to emphasize for them?
I love to emphasize that your greatest manifestations happen outside of your comfort zone.
So true. Yeah, that's worth saying again. Your greatest manifestations happen outside of your comfort zone. We cannot wait to feel comfortable, right?
Yeah, we gotta get uncomfortable to grow and expand.
Yeah, well said, well said. And I think it's one of those things we cannot get away from, right? It is part and parcel of the experience of growing as a person.
It's true.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Mary, I want to thank you so much for being here today. Thank you. This has really been wonderful.
It's my pleasure.
And thank you to all the listeners. Mary's book and all the other information about her can be found at maryshores.com. I highly recommend you check all of that out if you aren't familiar with Mary's work. And I want to thank everybody for tuning into Cultural Brilliance Radio. As usual, we had a great time. Please join me the second and fourth Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and look forward to hearing you next time. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at claudetterowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.